بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue in كتاب الصلاة باب المواقيت the book of the Salah in the chapter of the times of the Salah and we have read in our previous class the narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And this is the first narration that the author, he has mentioned, rahimahullah, in the book of As-Salah. And under this chapter, likewise, the chapter with regards to Muwaqqit, As-Salah, and the times, the prescribed times for the prayer. And he mentioned that he asked, radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala sa'altu nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I asked the Prophet, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyul amali ahabbu ila Allah, which of the actions is most beloved to Allah, which deed is most beloved to Allah, which deed is most beloved to Allah. And we see here the diligence of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, particularly to strive to learn the actions that will gain one the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and be a means to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that He has legislated, the actions that Allah loves. And the companions in general, radiallahu anhum, they were diligent upon this. And they would ask about this knowledge in order to apply it. Ayyul amali ahabbu ilallah, which of the deeds is most beloved to Allah? And many of the narrations likewise, ayyul amali afdalu, which of the deeds is most virtuous? Which of the deeds is most virtuous? We see in this narration, likewise, from the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is what is intended by the question here is which of the actions, meaning actions of the body parts, ayyul amali ahabbu ilallah min al-amal al-badaniya, and from the actions that are performed with the body. From the actions that are performed with the body. This is what the question of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he is referring to here. And the messenger, he mentioned in another narration, whenever he was asked a similar question, but he responded with regards to the most virtuous deeds of the heart. And he said, Imanun billah, ayyul amali afdal, which ayyul amal afdal, what are the deeds that are most virtuous? And in this question, what was intended were the actions of the heart. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Imanun billah." Now, but here, what is the question, or what is the questioner referring to? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, the actions of the body parts. Ayyul amali ahabbu ilallah. Which actions, which deeds that one can perform with his body is most beloved to Allah? Qala as-salatu ala waqtiha. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayer at the proper time, ala waqtiha, at its proper time. And we have seen likewise the narration of Farwa al-Ansariya radiallahu anha that clarifies the intent of this narration as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked again in another narration, and she attended that. Radiallahu anha, ayyul amali afdal, what are the deeds, which deeds are most virtuous? And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-salatu li awwali waqtiha. And in one wording, as-salatu fi awwali waqtiha. So the lam here, it means fi. Yani this as-salat at its earliest time. So this is what is being referred to here. And this is the aspect of the author mentioning this narration in this chapter and in this book. Kitabu as-salat babu muwaqit. So the salat is beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why He has legislated it. And if a believer would like to know the deeds and the statements that are beloved to Allah, then let him look at that which Allah has made obligatory. Then let him look at that which Allah has made obligatory. If Allah loves His servants to perform a particular action or to maintain and carry a particular attribute or characteristic, or to conduct themselves in a particular manner, or to make certain statements, then we will see that Allah has commanded them with these statements, in either an obligatory command or a command of recommendation, and nadib, what istihbab. And likewise, it has come in al-hadith al-wali, the hadith al-qudsi, that is very well known, al-hadith al-mashhur, that Allah, He said, ما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَأْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ, that my slave has never drawn near to me or sought nearness to me by way of anything more beloved to me except, or anything that's more beloved to me except that I have made it obligatory. Meaning the obligatory affairs is the best way to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in these obligations and that Allah has legislated them and that He loves them, and drawing near to Him by way of performing them in a manner that He has legislated and He's pleased with. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salatu ala waqtiha. As-salatu ala waqtiha. Li awwali waqtiha. So we see the wisdom behind mentioning this narration in the first of this chapter is something that many of the authors, the musannifun, they have followed and traversed upon this way with regards to works of hadith and books with regards to the clarification of al-ahkam al-shar'iyya and the likes like this and the rulings of the legislation. And that is that before they delve in or mention the detailed issues of the particular rulings, or the detailed issues and rulings of the particular issue, before they delve into these detailed affairs, they mention in the beginning narrations or ayat that are targhib fil masala. They have targhib ul hath wa bayan fadilat and hadhihi al masala. They'll mention narrations and they'll mention text and nusus that will clarify the virtue of this particular issue. And they will encourage and be an encouragement for a believer to strive to maintain this issue, to learn it and to comply to it and to apply it in one's life. So before mentioning the details of the times of Salat, it's very beneficial for a believer to know and to remember that the Salat is beloved to Allah, and that the times have been prescribed, and the first of that time is most beloved to Allah. Rather, this is the deed that is most beloved to Allah. So then whenever a believer, he remembers that these are deeds that are beloved to Allah, and that Allah, He loves the one who performs these deeds, then this is a means for him to bear the burden of learning and the hardship of and difficulty of seeking knowledge, and likewise of applying that knowledge after having learned, then likewise it requires effort from a believer to comply to that knowledge and to apply it in his life and to use it properly and to maintain it and to be and live upon it. So therefore, mentioning some narrations with regards to the virtues of particular deeds in the beginning of the chapter is beneficial in this manner, as al-hath with targhib, and also fi bayani fada'il al-amal. A believer, he will be able to bear these burdens by reading the narrations that clarify the virtues of the deeds and the actions and the likes like this, as an encouragement for him to learn and to be steadfast in learning, and likewise to strive to apply that knowledge. So we see here that the author, he is following this way and mentioning the virtue of the Salat, and that it's beloved to Allah, especially at the first of its time. قلت ثم أي, and then he said to him رضي الله عنه, then which deed? قال بر الوالدين. Then he said obedience and kindness to your parents or to the parents. قلت ثم أي, and then he said and then which deed? And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said الجهاد في سبيل الله, الجهاد in the path of Allah. قال حدثني بهن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولو استزدته لزادني. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he narrated these affairs to me, meaning directly. And if I were to ask him to inform me of more affairs in order like this, then he would have informed me. Then he would have informed me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have covered some of the issues with regards to this narration and some of the benefits that ulama they have mentioned, but there are fawaid likewise from this narration that we see. Fawaid and benefits. And the first of them, we see the diligence of the companions to learn, and their diligence in striving to understand and to know the legislated rulings, and also to know that which will draw them near to Allah. More than one narration will find the companions asking questions like this: what is the most beloved deed to Allah? Or what is the deed that is most virtuous? What is the deed, if I perform it, I will enter paradise? Inform me of a deed that if I were to do it, the people will love me and Allah will love me. Many narrations in this manner, like this, whenever the companions, they will be asking about actions, they'll be asking about knowledge and also asking about actions. And they want knowledge of the affairs that are good and the likes like this. And this is from the ikhlas and the sidq that the companions had, radiallahu anhum, in learning, and that they believed in Allah, and they believed in the book, and they believed in the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They believed in the Jannah and the Nar, and they're preparing for that. And they're preparing for that by taking the provision that they need, and that is knowledge and action. And that is knowledge and action. And even if we look into many of the narrations from the companions, we will see that not only were they asking about the good deeds in order to perform them, like we have in this narration here, أَيُّ الْعَمَالِ أَوْ أَيُّ الْعَمَلِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. What is the deed that is most beloved to Allah? As Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he asked in this question, in this particular narration. But likewise, we have the famous hadith of Hudhayfa, radiallahu anhu. He said that the people, كَانَ النَّاسِ يَسَأَلُونَ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ, that the people, they used to always ask about the goodness. And this is something that is good likewise. They need to know about the good ways and the obligations and the beautiful manners and upright deen, and to know the good from that. This is an obligation in order to perform it. But Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said the people, they used to always ask about the good, any meaning only. وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. But I used to ask about the evil, afraid that it would catch up with me. Yani, afraid that it will catch up with me. So, from the way of a believer to ask and to be concerned and diligent, like Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, in this issue here, to learn the good and that which is beloved to Allah. But also we see that from the companions, there are those who also ask about those things that are not beloved to Allah. And they would ask about the evil in order to avoid it and stay away from it. And a believer cannot truly be upon the straight path until he has a clear understanding of the khayr and the good and the tawheed and al-Islam is sahih. And also he has a clear understanding of ash-shar wal-bid'ah wal-shirk wal-kabair and all the things that is contrary to al-Islam and the correct deen that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was upon. So this is a benefit here. The companions, they were diligent. They'd ask. And they ask these questions to obtain this knowledge for the purpose of applying it. For the purpose of applying it. Likewise, from the benefits of this narration, we see the affirmation of the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal that He loves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min sifatihi tabaraka wa ta'ala al-mahabba, that He loves. Allah Azza wa Jal, He's described with love. Al-mahabba taliqu bi jalalihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's according to His majesty. Mahabba and love, that's not like the love of the creation. Na'am, in a manner befitting His Majesty. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves. He loves. Na'am, and He is loved. Allah, He loves and He is loved. And His love, for certain people, it fluctuates or it varies. And likewise for actions. As we see in this narration here, that there are deeds that are beloved to Allah, that Allah, He loves them. But some of them are more beloved to Him than others. So then the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has love. And this is established from His attributes in a manner befitting His majesty, and we do not resemble His love to the love of the creation, or this attribute to the attributes of the creation. Rather, we deal with this attribute like the rest of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We affirm them for Him as He has mentioned them, or as His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned them, and we do not ask how. And we do not deny them, and do not change or distort the meaning, and the likes like this, and we do not resemble them to the creation. Rather, we affirm them in a manner befitting His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we believe in them like that. And we believe in them like that. And from them is that Allah loves, and that He loves, and He is loved. So Allah, He loves the believers, and the believers love Him. And Allah, He loves the righteous, and He loves those who purify themselves, and He loves those who repent. He loves the good doers, and those who do good to and perfect their worship of Him, and those who are good to His creation likewise. Allah, He loves them. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned that there will be a people, whoever from the believers turns away from their deen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will bring a people whom He loves and they love Him. You need to affirm that Allah, He loves and He's loved. يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفِ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. So Allah will bring a people whom He loves and who love Him. May Allah make us from those whom He loves and from those who love Him. No doubt, if Allah loves a person, then they definitely love Him. Alhamdulillah. Naam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves people for their attributes. And He's mentioned in His book, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِرِينَ, that Allah, He loves those who repent, and because they're repentant. And He loves those who purify themselves because of the purity. And وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah, He loves the people of Al-Ihsan. And Allahu yuhibbu al-muttaqin, Allah, He loves the people of taqwa, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu yuhibbu al-mu'min, al-qawi. And Allah, He loves the strong believer. Allah, He loves the strong believer. All of these have come in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. And that Allah, He loves individuals for their attributes that are beloved to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who learns these attributes and then he applies them and he has them and obtains them, then this is the means to obtain the love of Allah azza wa jal. Likewise, there are deeds or times whenever the deeds are more beloved to Allah عز وجل ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيهن من هذه الأيام العشر, like the hadith with regards to the virtue of the deeds and how beloved they are to Allah in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. And likewise, there are places that are more beloved to Allah عز وجل as well. And it's been narrated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said أحب البقاع إلى الله مساجدها, that the most beloved lands to Allah or the most beloved places to Allah are the masajid. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves and He is loved. And this is something that is very beneficial to understand. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he raised and cultivated his companions upon this, that they would desire and hope for the love of Allah. And they would desire and hope to be loved by Allah. And that they would take the means that would that would achieve this for them. They would perform the actions, the statements that would be a means to achieve this. And this is something that it comes from the mercy and the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, but there are means to His love. And there are deeds that He loves, and He loves the ones who perform them and who performs them. So therefore, this is very beneficial to know. And a believer, he has to cultivate himself upon this way like this. And that the one who is truly worshipping Allah, and the one who is fulfilling the rights of ibadah, and the rights of servitude and ubudiyah, he is the one who loves Allah more than he loves his own soul. And he loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than he loves his own soul. And he gives the preference to their command over the command of his soul, or the command of his family, or his desires and the likes like this. And this is true, sincere submission and willful obedience to Allah azza wa jal is based upon this love, and that's the foundation of ibadah. So to know that Allah loves is very beneficial for a believer. Now a believer who strive to obtain that love. And the wise, they used to mention, لَيْسَ الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحِبْ إِنَّمَا الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحَبْ. It's not the main affair, or what is the true concern. It's not that you love, but rather that you are loved. And meaning everybody can claim that they love Allah, but does Allah love us? And so this, what truly matters is if Allah loves us. This is what truly matters, because all of them, they claim to love Allah. Even the Jews, what do they say? نَحْنُ أَحِبَّ اللَّهُ وَأَحِبَّهُ نَحْنُ سورة المائدة والله المستعان أبناء الله وأحباؤه نحن أبناء الله وأحباؤه. Now they claim that they're the beloved ones of Allah عز وجل. والله المستعان. And this is a claim. And even the wicked, they claim to love Allah. And the evil and the rebellion, they claim to love Allah. And even some of the believers, even though they're weak, they claim they love Allah. And they do it. They do love Allah. And the love of Allah is established in their hearts. But it's weak. It's weak. So the stronger that love is, the more the submission will be. And this is the way of the companions. And it's clear that the Prophet, he cultivated them upon that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he raised them upon that, until one of them is thinking to himself like this, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Ayyul amali ahabu ilallah. And I wonder, what is the most beloved deed to Allah? Allahu Akbar. He's thinking and pondering over this affair. He's thinking and pondering over this affair until he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he informed him. So we cultivate ourselves and our family and our children upon this way. And whenever we encourage them to do something, or ourselves likewise, may Allah, He loves this deed. This is why we're doing it. We hope that Allah will love us. And we remind our children likewise to do it, because this deed right here, Allah loves that. Allah, we ask the sister to cover herself, and the child to cover herself if she's female, because Allah, He loves hishma, and He loves haya, and He loves iffa, and He loves the women, or the Afifat, who are like this, and they have chastity and bashfulness and shyness, and they cover themselves, seeking His pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their brothers, we tell them likewise, they have to cover themselves as well, legislatively, according to that which Allah is pleased with. Some of the haircuts that the youth have, Allah does not love those haircuts. Naam, and some of the clothing that the youth wear, Allah does not love those types of clothing. And so therefore, we have to raise ourselves upon the love of Allah. And if we learn about these things, we have to strive against our soul to leave off that which Allah does not love for His sake. And the one who does that, and he goes through this trial and this difficulty, then Allah after that will make it easy and He will guide his heart. He will guide his heart. Naam? He will guide his heart. But we have to make an effort and we have to strive. Naam? So we cultivate ourselves like this, as the companions were cultivated upon the love of Allah, and knowing the deeds that are beloved to Allah, and knowing the statements and actions that are beloved to Allah, and likewise knowing the deeds that are not beloved to Allah, that are detested by Allah, in order to avoid them and stay away from them. And we know the ones that He loves in order to do them, and know the ones that He dislikes and detests, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to stay away from them. Naam, so this is a great benefit from this narration. Now the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So also we see that which has preceded, that the deeds, they fluctuate. The virtues, they're not all the same level in virtue, and they're different ranks and levels, and the reward for certain deeds are greater than others. And this is a benefit likewise from this narration. Naam, likewise from this narration. And we see as well from the benefits of this narration that one of the best deeds, or the most beloved deeds to Allah Azza wa Jalla, is to perform the salat at its first, at the first of its time. So if we perform the prayer, we should try to perform it at the best time, because this is the time that is most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Although if a person was in need or he had an excuse, he could perform it at another time. Or even if he didn't have an excuse, he could perform it at another time, so long as he performed it in the time that is allowed for that particular prayer. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. But the believers have been encouraged to compete with one another and to race to the pleasure of Allah, and to race to the forgiveness of Allah, and to race and to hasten to the paradise. So by performing the prayer at its first time, this is a sign of the love of the believer for Allah, and the hope of the believer in Allah, and the strong faith. Likewise, in that the believer is hastening to do good. It's not delaying the good. He's hastening to do good. So this means that his heart is attached with his Lord, and he's remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla, and hoping in Him and fearing in Him. So this is also from that aspect. Yani, by performing it in the beginning of its time, this is a sign of hastening to do good, that the heart, it loves the khayr, and the heart, it loves the salat, and it hastens to perform it at the proper time, rather even at the beginning of its time, at its best time. Likewise, we see in this narration the virtue of the right of the parents, and that the second affair after that, and after the issue of the salat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the right of the parents. So honoring and respecting the parents has a great right with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it's from the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it came second in line here after salat, even before the mention of jihad fi sabilillah. So this is also a clarification of the great right of the parents, and the great honor Islam it has for the parents. Whether they're righteous or non-righteous, whether they're believers or non-believers, they have that right established for them in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They have that right established for them in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Likewise, it has been narrated from Ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu, that he mentioned about this issue, and there's different wordings, and that a man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fasta'dhanahu fil jihad, that he said that a man, he came and he sought permission to go to battle in jihad with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ahayyun walidak, are your parents alive? And he said, naam. He said, yes. He said, fafihima fajahid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, then you should strive and fight in their cause, and being obedient to them, and aiding and supporting them, and respecting and honoring them. And this is a great hadith to clarify the right of the parents. This man, he left his parents, He didn't leave them to go play games, or he didn't leave them for any worldly gain, or to get some money, or any business, or trade, and the likes, or commerce. He didn't leave them for a woman to get married. He left them to go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pledge allegiance to him and fight with him, and fight in the battles with him against the enemies of Allah azza wa jal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him home, and he said, go strive. You want to strive in the path of Allah? Go strive to be obedient to your parents. Go strive to serve and be kind to your parents. And one wording that has been found in the Sunan Abi Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the man he came, he said, jitu ubayuka ad al hijra. A man he said, I came to pledge my allegiance to you and make hijrah. I came to pledge my allegiance to you and make hijrah. And he says, وَتَرَكْتُ أَبُوَيَّ يَبْكِيَانِي. And to clarify to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam his sincerity and how much he wanted to aid the Prophet, he said, I came to you on all this distance, I traveled to you, and to pledge allegiance to you and to make hijrah and to come to you. To make hijrah and to come to you, and I left my parents crying back home. I left them crying back home. I left my mother and father crying back home because he left them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, irji ilayhima fa'adhikhuma kama abkaytahuma. He said, go back to them and make them laugh in the same way you made them cry. Make them laugh the same way you made them cry. From the worst deeds that a child can do is make their mother cry or make their father cry, but especially their mother. Some children, they do not fear Allah Azza wa Jal, and the mother is going through much hardship and difficulty and pain in trying to raise the child and do that which is best to the child and save it from danger and harm and deviation and misguidance, and the child disrespects the mother until tears come to her eyes. This is not a good state. This is not a good state. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he tell that man? Go back and make them laugh the way you made them cry. Don't make them cry, you're supposed to make them laugh. Naam, fa hayyun walidak, are your parents alive? Fa fihima fajahid. Go back and you want to strive, you want to fight in the path of Allah, then fight to be obedient, fight your soul to be obedient to your parents. This is what is required in the deen of Islam. Naam, the parents, they have that high lofty right and rank and status. And we've seen some of the verses with regards to that in the previous class. Walillahi alhamd. Also, from the benefits of this narration, that it's permissible to ask at one time issues about more than one affair. And if a person came to a person of knowledge and wanted to ask about an issue about wudu, for example, after he clarified that, if he wanted to ask a question about bay', for example, about transaction, it's okay. Or if after that he wanted to ask an issue about food and lawful food or unlawful food, and then after that he wanted to ask the question about marriage, and all in one gathering to ask questions about different issues related to the deen and different topics and subjects, is permissible. And he asked here, radiallahu anhu, three different times, and each time was a different issue and subject from the affairs of the religion. So the ulama, they mentioned this benefit, that is permissible to ask any more than one question about different affairs. Walillah alhamd. Also, from the benefits of this narration, the ulama, they mention al-rifqu bil-alim, al-rifqu bil-alim, wa-husnu al-adib ma'ash-shaykhi wa-mura'atu halihi. That a person, he should have good manners with the people of knowledge, and that he should have good etiquettes with the people of knowledge, and that he should always observe the situation of the shaykh and the one whom he's learning from, and the one whom he is learning from. He should always have a good any relationship, but the way that he deals with him is deals with him with honor and respect, and he deals with him in the best manner, and he looks at his situation. Sometimes somebody will go to a person of knowledge and then ask him and bother him, and he's not feeling well, or you can see on his face he's tired, or it's apparent from the way that he's moving that he has something important to take care of, or it's just very well known that that time is not the best time, and the likes like that. But Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he mentioned here, he asked him these three affairs, then what did he say? If I had asked more, he would have gave me more. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he knows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how generous he is with knowledge particularly, how generous he is in general, and with knowledge particularly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if he had kept asking him, the Prophet would have been patient, and he would have stayed there, and he would have given the direction and the guidance, and he would have mentioned the ruling and the clarification, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he did not want to disturb or the Prophet or to go over the limits or put a burden on him. And this was from the honor and respect and love he had for his teacher. His teacher is the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the one that he learns from, and the respect from him, and also knowing his situation. And this is something that is very beneficial for a student. Whenever the student, he shows good manners and good etiquettes and the likes like this with his teacher, then after some time, the teacher will open for him. The teacher will open up for him. Maybe sometimes whenever there are students and the teacher, he doesn't open up to him, only a little bit. Sometimes he will see the student like this and he will not open up to him, and he will just give him the basic knowledge or deal with him in a general manner. But after some time, if the teacher sees from that student diligence and good manners, and what has appeared from his actions and statements is that he's sincere outwardly, and that he's benefiting and he's striving to learn, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the heart of that teacher for that student, and then he will be a companion for him, and he will have much good for him. As for the student who comes and he's harsh, or he comes and he's rude, or he comes and he's not patient, and he comes one time and two times, and the teacher didn't give him the dars he thought he was going to get, and then he ran off, then this person, you know, he missed out on a lot of khair. But if he's patient and he deals with some of the bad manners of the teacher, and then after some time, the teacher will open up for him. The mashayikh will open up like this, and then that's how the person will have that great and wonderful benefit, yani, that they will obtain, and many others will not be able to obtain that. And it's been mentioned from many of the ulama of hadith in this manner, that sometimes they would test the student, or they would try them, and then after some time, yani, they would be able to benefit from their teacher and from their sheikh in a manner that is great and very beneficial. So these are some of the benefits with regards to this narration. And we see that after this, the author, he mentioned the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, clarifying the action of the Prophet, and that he used to hasten to make the Fajr prayer. So, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, in this narration here with Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and from the statement of the Prophet, he's encouraging to pray the prayer its first time. The next narration that we take from the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, inshaAllah, in our next class, it's clarifying the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that he himself, he would hasten to pray the Fajr prayer at its beginning time. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.